B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right, you ready? A little cash giveaway action for you guys. And hopefully we want you guys to win. That is our hope. So today's word is world, as in world be free. Enter the fast cash keyword world, WORLD, on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting world to 45911 by 12:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everybody that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Get the rules for this company-wide contest at 975fanatic.com. Good luck.
Here you go. Phil and Phyllis. They were purchased by a Dodge dealership in Woodbury, New Jersey, on the White Horse Pike. And then the guy who owns Storybook Land was driving down the pike, saw it, and walked right into the dealership and asked how much. And he bought them. So they're at Storybook Land now, which is down the shore.
Wow.
AC area.
Story is that still around?
Yes, it is. I drive past it every once in a while when I go down to visit them.
Pike, right?
Yep. When I visit my parents, every once in a while, I'll drive by there.
Wow. They should be in a prominent place.
I agree.
Come on.
A Storybook Land's a prominent. I went there on a class trip.
I respect. What is it? I don't even know if I don't think I was ever there.
It's.
I passed by. Yeah, you know, probably a million times, but I don't ever remember being there.
It's not Disney World, but it's like it doesn't have Disney characters, but it's kind of
they have actually rides?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they got the teacups, but it's not teacups. It's like
it was like a big carnival. Like Stella Maris Carnival?
Yeah, better than that. Yeah, it's there all the time. They're not taking it down and putting it back up.
Okay. All right, so it's above carnival
I'd go single A minor league club of Disney.
All right, compare it to like a Wildwood Boardwalk Pier.
I see that we're talking about lore. The Wildwood Boardwalk Pier has lore in itself.
Right. So you would say Disney, if you say Disney's the big leagues. Then the Wildwood Boardwalk is what, triple A?
No, come on. It's a double A, maybe. High A.
Yeah, you're right. What am I saying?
That's Winter League. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's too much credit for a Wildwood Boardwalk.
Triple A is like Six Flags.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Williamsburg.
You feel safe on Six Flags, at least. You're not feeling safe at Wildwood.
You're right. I take it back. I overrate Wildwood.
It's because it's childhood. I understand.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is great. Nick on a text board. You have boys, so you don't want to go there. Oh, that's great. Hi, A. That is classic. Let's go to Tim in Allentown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Timmy.
Yep. Tom. Hey, Anthony. It's Tom. It's Tom in Allentown.
Hey, Tom. How are you, brother?
I am good, man. I just I got back into town about 2.5 weeks ago. I was a guy who called you from Florida on the Gulf Coast a couple times.
Oh, yeah, Tommy. Yeah. How you doing, man? How you feeling? Everybody safe?
Yeah, I'm blessed, man. You and your family are all well?
Yeah, we're, you know, hunkered down. You know, like everybody else.
Yeah, I'm deemed essential and necessary. I couldn't believe that being a landscaper, but that's what we do. You know, we're taking care of people's houses, and a lot of protocol we have to follow to be able to work. But you know what? I want my guy safe. I got him scrubbing the truck,
sure,
wearing masks, gloves. One guy to a truck. you know,
Do they not go in, Tom? Do they stay? They don't go to the people's houses, right? They're just doing.
No. We don't. You know, we're all outside. Yeah. You know, I'm the only person that has contact with the client. It's usually just once. I wear a mask, and then I email them their estimate, email them their bill, and we're kind of blessed. We have a lot of follow up. Clients. You know, try to treat our people right. So I've been in business for 42 years.
Oh, good man.
Yeah. So I love my job, and I love baseball, man. I was down there for Phillies, you know, spring training, and I got to see a couple games. But I picked up on your conversation about, you know, like your great moments in baseball games, you know, or whatever. And
first game. So, we were talking about your first game.
First game was Connie Mack Stadium. I guess I was about eight, so 1966, and that gentleman stole my thunder, Dick Allen. He has a 40-ounce bat, is what he hit with, and he hit a shot 550 feet. At Connie Mack, when the ball went out,
oh my
he had
God.
Rooftops.
How does a ball go that far? My God!
Yeah, he was a beast, man. And I used
that
to call
big,
it
giant the tree trunk barrel of a bat, right?
Yeah, it was a 40-ouncer. He had a 40-ounce bat. Matter of fact, I happened to bid on one, and I happened to win it down in Florida. But they used to have Ballantyne. It's no longer in business anymore, but it was be called the Ballantyne Blast. So
that was the beer.
That was the beer back in the day.
And, was that a Philly sponsored beer?
It was a Philly beer, yep.
Wow. I just remember Schmitz.
Yeah.
The Schmitz beer.
Brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were big back in the day. But another little caveat story is, you know, in the course of my business, I used to do this condominium complex down in Wynwood. And couple of the Phillies, Larry Christensen, the guy that you mentioned, he lived there. And then when he moved out, Von Hayes bought that place. But also,
wow. 5-for-1.
Richie Ashburn lived there, too. And I was a big baseball card collector. And Richie was the nicest guy, man. He would leave the guys a couple bottles of beer out on the porch.
Did he really? Oh, yeah, that's awesome, man.
Couple Rolling Rocks every Friday when they were up there, and he signed all the baseball cards that I had of him. I made it a point to try and get rookie through the end of his career with the Mets, and he was a good guy, good people, man, absolutely.
Oh my god, that's cool, man. I love that, Tommy.
My favorite pitcher, right, was one of the cool memorable events I had was I used to go to the vet all the time when Carlton was pitching. You could catch the Chester O bus. It was like 1973 when the vet opened. You know, and I saw Carlton pitch like 12 home games the year he won 27 games, and the Phillies only won 59 the whole year.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's check that out.
That's what him and Schmidt and all them guys came up from the minors that year. But, yeah, that was cool. You know, I catch a Chester O, get some guy, hey, buddy, buy me a ticket for 50 cents for a kid. And I get a dollar hoagie and a soda, and, you had it made for like $3 and you're five. It was, just a whole different time, Go to a
That's cool,
game,
man. That is awesome, Tommy. That's good stuff, man. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that, brother. That's cool. Thank you. Be safe. Continued safety. Wow, check this out. Big Mike on Twitter. This is his house. He's got it looks like the vet wall. And it says Phillies World Series champions with the fat P. And it's got the green wall with the yellow line, the yellow top of the wall. And it's got all the team's logos against the black backdrop. In the circle. It's the vet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's the vet outfield.
That's so cool.
That is, he made that?
Yeah, I guess he just printed it out somehow and then put it up along his wall. That's awesome.
That is dynamite.
And then another Mike on Twitter actually tweeted in earlier that his first game was at a Phillies game. He actually has a picture of himself from his first game. And you can see the background is the logos of the teams along the outfield wall.
Oh, you got to be kidding
me. It's just
me.
So funny, like the random stuff you remember.
Wow, that's really cool. That's really cool. No, it is. Like, but it's the little details that is like ours, right?
Yes.
Like, that's our stuff. We talk about the vet, right? And, like, I'll never forget the beer didn't have, it had cellophane and the sodas. You know, they didn't have a lid.
Really?
It was like saran wrap with rubber band. That was the lid.
Oh, my God.
There was no lid, dude. It was saran wrap. That was the lid.
Why?
I don't know. To this day, I don't even know why. But I'll never forget sitting next to my mother, and she would get a cold beer, and she would give me a couple sips. You know, I was 12
awesome.
Years old. Yeah,
that's great.
And I'll never forget. And you know what's funny? You know how we have gone in a beer evolution?
Yes.
Like, I want to taste that, like, Schmidt's beer. Like, that, like, I want to taste that beer. Like, I got to go out and buy, like, a Michelob or something. Like, I'm so used to, you know, we've so used to drinking the IPAs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, like, that taste of beer, you know, that it's even not even a like a Miller or a Lutz.
Well, yeah, it's,
like,
I think
it's even more, it's, I can taste that. That Schmidt's beer, like it was beer.
Wait, think of the place and you think of the taste. Like if I think of my basement growing up, I can taste St. Pauli Girl because my dad used to always buy. Still does. I don't know why. It's definitely not one of the best beers, but St. Pauli Girl. And that was the beer that I would steal when I was like 14, 15 years old. I can imagine the taste.
You're so right. I can say... Oh, my God, you're so right about that. I can sit back. I'm getting lost as it is now. I'm sitting in the seats, my mother, you know, and then she'll get the beer, and I could taste, like, that Schmidt's beer, that cold beer. That's crazy. Oh, look at this. Dude, so South Philly Santa, right, used to... put the wrap, the saran wrap, over all the cups. And then you put a press on top of it, and it melted the saran wrap to the cup. Do you believe that? That was the lid. He would melt it, the saran wrap, on top of these cups. And he was able to ruin all kinds of cups by accident.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I just pulled up a commercial.
Because he would work. So, South Philly Santa, people know him as Snitch. Snitch used to work in the back. Oh, my God. That's great.
I got a commercial for you.
Do you really?
Yeah. Well, I'll play it right now because we got...
Wait. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because I can't see the board.
We got the playback coming up.
Right. What's on the board?
What do you mean what's on the board?
Are there a lot of people holding?
Yeah.
Do you want to push it back a segment?
I mean, everybody's talking Phillies, and it is a Phillies playback today.
Well, let's push it back just for today, because we got a lot of people. I actually want to hear it. We got to take a break. Let's push it back one segment. You get, yeah or no?
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
Listen, we do this on the fly. Yeah, you know, we always do 12:20 with the playback, but this conversation is getting me excited. All right, let's sit tight, everybody. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 12:21. Really, you know what's cool? And I think talking about our love and of the games and talking about our first kind of games, to thanks to Joe, who was the first one who brought up the topic. And I think we need stuff like this to get us through this time, to take us to truly our happy places. So I think we should, you know, kind of, we're going to adopt this as kind of a theme. I think one day I want to do a vet day. Maybe we'll do a vet day on Friday and have some fun with some vet stories. Because that was fun. We'll celebrate the vet. This stuff, I got to tell you, I can't get enough of it. The call's been great. So we came to a little bit of a compromise to choose tonight. We were going to have a guest on after the playback, but we're not going to do that. So everybody sit tight, because I'd rather, quite frankly, talk to you guys today. Normally, I like to talk to you guys anyway. So sit tight, and we're going to do our playback. Today, we're going to throw back to Roy Halladay's no-hitter. It was game one of the National League Division Series against the Reds. October 6th, 2010. Brian Anderson and Joe Simpson on the call. First pitch, 5:08 p.m. So before the game, let's hear Brian Anderson, Joe Simpson talk about the strengths of this Phillies team. Think about what you have right here. Halladay, Hamels, Oswalt.
This is a ball club kind of known for its offense, but this year it's been their pitching, and specifically their starting pitching, that's in the headlines.
They've got three guys for this postseason that is the envy of baseball, Brian. Three aces, Halladay, Hamels, and Oswalt. Roy Halladay came over from Toronto. He's the Cy Young, odds-on Cy Young winner in the National League. Cole Hamels was the MVP of the Phillies World Championship a couple of years ago, and all Roy Oswalt did after coming over from Houston was go 7-1 for the Phillies. Combined, these three guys, the last month of the season, went 13-1. Today, Roy Halladay will go in game one, and he was a perfect 5-0 the last month.
Excuse, by the way, Brian Anderson, severely underrated.
I agree, because TBS does like the divisional series rounds, right? I think he does a great job.
He's really good. He does baskets too, right?
I think
those
NCAA
tournament.
TBS, it would make sense.
He's really good. I don't know, he never gets any kind of acclaim, and his name, you know, his name's kind of, you forget, it's forgettable, right?
Yeah.
It's like a fake name, Brian Anderson, you know? He's really good. Anyway, time for the first pitch of the game. Now, remember, this was a monster moment. As great as Halladay was all season, and remember the Doc perfect game earlier that summer in Miami, well, Doc had never pitched in the postseason. He was amazing, right? In Toronto, 148-76 in the AL East. An ERA of 3.43 in 12 seasons. And again, that's in the AL East with the Red Sox and the Yankees. He never made the World Series, never made the playoffs. So here's Doc's first pitch in the postseason.
Brandon Phillips leads off, and Roy Halladay about ready to
cash in on something he's waited for his entire career. And away we go. A bouncing ball to Jimmy Rollins. One pitch, one out. And that's a big part of the Roy Halladay story. It's one of the reasons he was able to finish 9 games this year.
Early swings. Guys know if they get into deep counts with Roy Halladay, especially behind in the count, chances of getting on base are very slim.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That crowd. Listen to that crowd.
Oh, it'll only get louder throughout this playback. Trust me.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. All right. So the Doc, he's got Orlando Cabrera full count. Because remember one thing. If you were going to get the Doc, Tunis, when would that be?
Early or late in the count.
Right. But getting also early in the game.
Yes.
First inning before Doc settled down, that's when he was the only time he was vulnerable. Take a listen to how he completed a 1-2-3 first inning.
He finished the season on a string of 123 straight sellouts. Certainly packed in here today.
And high expectations in Philadelphia with his team. This Botto bangs one out to Chase Utley.
All right. That would portend the things to come. Phil's offense, bottom of the first. Didn't take long for them to get going. You know that offense, how it would work. Now, Jimmy flies out, but getting things started, the flying Hawaiian.
7 days rest for Volquez as Victorino goes down the line. A fair ball. And we'll go to the wall. Victorino will settle for a double, the spark plug in his Phillies offense, added right away in the 2010 postseason. Utley is healthy, and he's swinging a hot bat down the stretch of the regular season leading into the postseason. Victorino takes off, throw from the knees. A stolen base on an excellent play by Rowland to save a run right there.
Wow. How about the line of Lion? Stealing third, Tunis. Now, you know how it worked, right? Runner on third, less than two outs. Chase at the plate. Chase gets the run home.
Talk about their lineup and their injuries, Brian. And with Polanco and everybody else that's supposed to start on their ball club, they've only had that lineup together 16 games all season.
As Utley sends one to right. Jay Bruce, one of the best arms in baseball, but Victorino very fast. And the throw to the plate, Victorino scores, and the Phillies strike first. And a sacrifice fly at an RBI from Chase Utley.
What stands out right there?
Crowd noise and Jay Bruce and 16 games.
Yes. Jay Bruce. Dude, this is what I mean by Clint Tack. That's why I can't stand him. He gives it Jay Bruce last year. We're playing highlights of Jay Bruce 11 years prior.
Hey, Jay Bruce was a stud when he first came over.
I know. Oh, yes, 11 years ago. Ugh. All right. Now, top of the second. Doc, he would fan 8 on the day. And here's his first one coming against that creep. Listen.
Rowland, the former Philly, gets roundly booed every time he's introduced here in Philadelphia. As Halladay strikes him out.
Change up and a beauty. Boy, just dropped it right on the back part of the plate there. And Rowland out in front. Outstanding.
Love it. Sit down,
you're a real
Scott.
Crumb-bum.
That's it, Frank. Sit down, Scott. All right, bottom of the second, Chooch on second, after he walked, advanced on a Wilson Valdez knock.
All right.
But not only did Doc, was he unhittable at the mound, he also helped himself out at the plate.
22 pitches for Volquez here in the second, facing Roy Halladay. And Halladay lines one to left. Gomes cannot make the play. Ruiz will score. Valdez in the third. And it's Roy Halladay who delivers a big base hit. The Phillies up 2-0.
We could spend nine innings talking about what a great pitcher Roy Halladay is. We don't have to spend much time talking about what a great hitter he is, but he did drive in five runs during the year and had 13 hits.
Look at that. Can you believe it? Now Jimmy walks. That loads the bases for Shane Victorino. And you ready? The count goes full.
Victorino, good fastball hitter.
Pitch number 39 of the inning. Runners go. Victorino into center field. That'll fall, a base hit. One run is in. Halladay right behind him. Victorino delivers. A two RBI single, and the Phillies have a 4-0 lead. And that is going to do it for Edinson Volquez.
Shane comes through, Judas. Victorino on a 3-2 pitch. Fills up 4-0. Just two innings in. Let's go. Top of the third. He's just dominant. Sit down, Orlando Cabrera.
0-2 on Cabrera. Man, oh man. Roy Halladay locked and loaded here early. His third strikeout.
Brian, I know it's been a few days since he pitched, and this is the ninth day. But folks around the Phillies camp said that in his last start against Washington, it was his last start of the year, and he still pitched a complete game, went nine innings. A two-hit shutout against Washington, no walks, six strikeouts, and everybody said it might have been the best game he pitched all year outside the perfect game.
Think about that for a second, dude. In an era when nobody was going to distance, Doc routinely went the distance.
Oof. They went seven complete games that year. Crazy.
Right? He was great.
If he didn't go nine, he went seven or eight.
He was great. All right, we skip ahead to the top of the fifth inning. All right. Jay Bruce at the plate. 3-2 count. This was big because it affected history. Listen.
Well, the first goal for Cincinnati is to get Roy Halladay in the stretch. Been pitching out of the windup this entire game. 3-2 pitch. And Bruce lays off. So the first base runner for Cincinnati comes with two outs in the fifth inning as Jay Bruce draws the walk.
All right, so there goes the perfect game. But no hitter still attacked. And it would be four pitches later when Doc gets Drew Stubbs to end the inning.
Ball and two strikes. And a bouncing ball out to Rollins. Getting over. Perfect game lost. No hitter still intact. 4-0 Phillies. And it might be time to start calling your friends because Roy Halladay has five no-hit innings and has some serious swing and miss stuff at this point.
Don't call your friends!
Now, you want to tell the audience what you did? About
Don't call your dads!
You want to tell the audience what you did?
Yeah, if you guys missed it, I did not call my dad when Halladay was throwing the perfect game against the Marlins because I didn't want to jinx it. Don't call your friends.
Would you have called your father in this one?
Absolutely not. That phone call would have changed history.
Now?
You know, some guy, when Bruce walked or right before he walked, they were saying, oh my God. Halladay's got a perfect game. And then Jay Bruce walked. And it's that person's fault.
All right, let's skip ahead. Let's go to the top of the seventh inning now. Two down. Scotty J.O. at the plate. Listen.
19 out of 22 first pitch strikes.
The only blemish, a walk in the fifth inning. Two out, seventh inning. Seven no-hit innings. And you better believe it is Doctober time here in Philadelphia.
Doctober! Wow, I forgot about that, Judas.
Great line.
Doctober was incredible. Oh, man. Top of the eighth inning. Two outs. Drew Stubbs back at the plate. Take a listen to this. Dennis at bat that lasted a mere 45 seconds.
Of course, the last no-hitter in postseason play, Don Larson, the most famous of the no-hitters. That was in 56. Halladay, four outs away. Two gone in the eighth. Here's Stubbs. Strike.
And still peppering that fastball in at 93. Again, a workhorse, nine complete games this year. Led the league in that category. Led in innings pitched, 250-plus innings. He's only thrown 93 pitches.
How about it? Strike, strike, strike.
The announcers didn't even say strike three. They just, it was like, yeah, strike three.
Well, it's for TV. And there it is. Three pitches, three strikes, 45 seconds. Let's go to the bottom of the eighth. Phillies don't even need any more offense. And that's not the point of what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Doc Halliday's routine.
And if you're just joining us, you're here at just the right time. Roy Halladay, eight no-hit innings. We'd love to show you Roy Halladay in the dugout, but talk about being iced. He ices himself. He goes underneath into the clubhouse. That's his normal routine, though. Yeah. He makes it easy on the rest of the players.
How cool is that? He ices himself. Now we go. Top of the ninth inning. History awaits. The no-hitter is still intact. Ramon Hernandez at the plate.
4-0, the Phillies. The story, Roy Halladay. And history on the line here in Philadelphia. All zeros. Eight no-hit innings for Halladay at his first postseason start.
Three-ball counts all night.
In the air, Chase Utley. Nothing is routine at this point. Utley makes a catch. One gone.
The only thing standing right now between Halladay and another perfect game was a walk back in the fifth inning.
That's right. And now one down. Mikel Cairo at the plate. And on pitch number 100, here's what happened.
They've tried stepping out on him, waiting him out. Nothing has thrown Roy Halladay off his game tonight.
Pitch number 100 on the way from Halladay. In the air. Over is Valdez with room. Two outs.
I remember that day, man. I was there. What a wild, wild day. Fans going nuts. And here it is, the entire final at bat. Brandon Phillips of the Reds steps to the plate. Take a listen.
The Reds' last hope, Brandon Phillips. And one more piece to the puzzle for Roy Halladay.
And he's a first pitch ambush hitter if he delivers a fastball strike.
Gave him a fastball. Phillips took it.
Probably the best pitch he will get to hit this at bat.
Halladay struck him out in the fourth.
Can't even begin to tell you how loud it is here, folks.
Halladay is one strike away. The 0-2. A bouncer. Ruiz. In time! Roy Halladay has thrown a no-hitter!
Oh, man, is that incredible? Is that incredible?
Playoffs.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It was so special to see him pitcher.
My God.
Right, he was just incredible.
I mean, that was ridiculous. Wow, I got chills. There it is. That's right. Doc Halliday. And you remember that bounce where you went, oh, my God. Did you remember being nervous when you saw the bouncer?
Oh, but yeah.
Chooch was on it like a cat. Chooch was on it.
Freaking Brandon Phillips throwing the bat forward.
Yeah.
See, and avoid the bat.
Yes, yes.
Slid around it.
Yeah, yeah, creep. Yeah. Great play by
the
Chooch.
He's a creep.
Great play by the Chooch. There it was. Doc's no-hitter against the Reds. Game one of the NLDS 2009 October. Red October, a Doctober. Let's go to Glenn in Wallingford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, G?
Yo, what's happening, man? Those are definitely great memories, man. And it's unbelievable because, you know, that run was for you know, listen, I know that the Eagles probably take priority, but I will probably say that era from, you know, when they caught the Mets, what was that, 07, 06, and you know, through what, 10, 11. I mean, that 5-year period was phenomenal. I mean, the Citizens Bank was rocking. I mean, every day was a rock party, you know, a rock concert in the parking lot. It was insane. And just the culmination with the World Series and getting, I mean, obviously we wish they would have won more, you know, titles, World Series, but I mean, it is just fabulous memory, man. I appreciate this. And, listen, man,
I gotta tell you, you're dead right, too. That was the most, I think, the most fun collectively.
Fun,
I mean, I remember, like, every, I mean, it would last a month. I mean, there were parties. Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. You're right. Like, the whole, being at that stadium, oh, my God, it was awesome.
I mean, the middle of June, July, I mean, the place would be sold out. I mean, we had, I don't know, like I said, how many years there, every single game was sold out. I mean, everybody, and you know, and baseball, you know, listen, everyone loves football, but collectively as you know, the Delaware Valley, the whole, I mean, like you said, everybody had fun. I didn't care if your grandmother, your uncle, your whoever, everybody loved it. And, you know, it was funny because, you know, I love sports the one funny thing you were talking about with I think it was Chuna said, you know, he didn't even say strike there. Now, obviously, that's TV, so they let it breathe. But, it's, you know, I was even thinking about broadcasters that just step on the moment just drives me nuts. And I know that we're kind of mourning the loss of the NCAA tournament. I was watching the Kentucky-Duke game. I know I wasn't sure if you got a chance to see that over the past weekend or whatever.
Yeah, that was the one here at the Spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah, the
Leitner.
But
that was what, 1992?
92.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Vern Lundquist, he just let it breathe. I mean, he goes, yes, when he makes the shot. But for the next 15 seconds, you just see the player storming. He just lets you take it in as watching. It's just, you know, and those are the moments. And, you know, last week you guys were talking about, you know, What do you miss most about, or well, I forget exactly how the question was, but you know, the thing about most about baseball that you miss, you know, whether it's the smell of the grass or it's the sound of baseball, right? I mean,
listening to
Harry and Whitey growing up and hearing them kind of give the description, you hear the people talking in the background. I mean, you guys have done a great job again with just the different topics and everything like that, man. It's just, it's all over. It's just going to be, you know,
we're going to fall so hard back in love with these games, man. Because I feel it, too. And it's funny, doing all the four playbacks, I mean, obviously the Eagles are fun, Sixers, the Flyers have been real fun. But the Phillies, I don't know, I've been looking forward to the Phillies ones the most.
It's one of those things where it's. I think it's like a culmination of stuff, you know, because it's just kind of the season builds and builds and builds. It's such a long season, and then when you think back, it's just, you know, it's been great. And you know, your poll question about what you would, I would listen. I know you're not doing halves, or whatever, but I think over the last 40 years, I think the Phillies are realistically a 6.5. If you had to break it down, realistically, I mean, they're two World Championships.
I got you down 6.5. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a couple MVPs thrown in there, too. So, I mean, there have been some bad years, you know, and stuff like that. But like the Greg Jeffries years, you know, when he was a Philly and a Met. He was a guy who I hated. You talk about guys who you hated who were Phillies.
Yeah.
You know, at the last out of the season when he was with the Mets and he rushed Roger McDowell and they had the brawl the last game of the season. Hated Greg Jeffries. Even when he was a Philly, I didn't like him.
But yeah, no, he was the worst. I'm completely with you. Completely with you. Yeah, so. Gee, that's great stuff, man. Appreciate it, bro.
I'll talk to you guys later. Appreciate it. Later.
Be safe, buddy. Be safe. Oh, that's true, man. Have you looked forward to the Phillies? I think we're all missing baseball a lot.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know me.
No, I know. I know. But it feels like the Phillies, in each of the times, where are the games that we've done so far?
We've done Doc Holliday's no-hitter today.
This is the third one, right?
Yep, game 162-07, and then the Stairs rips one into the night. But originally, it was voted for NLDS game 2, the Brett Myers game, but it wasn't online.
Right.
But everybody's voting for the 07-08 period.
Yeah.
Because those were some great years.
I know. I mean, look, 07, like, remember, they make the playoffs in 07. 06 was, they lost that big series against the Astros. Remember that weekend series?
Yep.
They lost that big series against the Astros. That was 06. 07 was, you know, playoffs, Rockies. Of course, 08, you know, World Series, 9 Yankees, 10 Giants, 11 Cardinals. And during that whole period, it was awesome. It was like a party every night down there.
Yeah, and one of the cuts, I forget which one it was, I'd play it again, but he said, and this is the end of the season on 123 games straight with a sold-out crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, that went over a span of, 4 or 5 years?
I know. And you know what's funny? I think that's why I'm so angry at Klentak. And
McPhail.
And Andy McPhail.
That place used to be rocking.
Well, but I beyond just that place rocking, the fan base, like I think the fan base gets short shrifted. You know what I mean? And I just don't appreciate McPhail and Klentak, their attitude.
Yeah, if we do, we do. We don't was one of the worst things that you could have uttered.
Their attitude toward the fan base. It's why, you know, listen. We love the Phillies, right? We love baseball. I mean, we love it. But baseball is a special thing in this town. It's funny. My wife, who's not the biggest sports fan, she's got fond memories going to the Phillies as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about going to the Phillies game. Like, that was it. Like, baseball, this town, have a strong relationship. But, you know, it's weird. Like, there's, you know, the fact that McPhail and Klentak, they give you the smugness. I don't think they respect the fan base enough.
You know, I think about it, and I'm not.
I don't think Klentak's a good general manager. Yeah, do I go overboard in criticizing him? Probably, but I just think the two of them don't show enough respect. And it shocks me because Middleton is a Philadelphian, right? Like, I love the fact that John took control of the team. And it surprises me that he puts up and he's okay with McPhail and Klentak and how they've purported themselves. I mean, arrogant people.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't. We'll always just, it's awful. And then one of them, I forget if it was Middleton or McPhail, one of them had the balls to say after the season when they did like their postseason review, it might have been after they fired Gabe Kapler and they had the press conference, they asked him about how they felt with the team. And one of those two, either Middleton or McPhail said, well, I mean, in the month of August and September, we had the 10th best bullpen ERA in the league. And I'm like, you're going to give me top 10 bullpen stat?
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Right, that's what you're going to give me. You're not going to give me, oh, we finished fourth in the National League East. oh, we had a collapse. Oh, we refused to make a trade the deadline. You gave me, we were top 10 bullpen ERA in the major leagues.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
It is. I agree with you. It's a joke. It's not fair. It really is. And it's a shame because the fan base deserves better. I mean, I think back to those days, and those days were, you know, they were incredible. Now, I think John helps out. Because I think he's a guy that should be in the forefront. You know what's amazing? Like, what does Andy McPhail do? Really? What does he do?
Middleton, that's a good question.
Middleton should be the face. He's a Philadelphian. He could handle that job better than McPhail can. At being a face and the president of his club. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, whatever. We've been through it. But it's funny because I think back to these memories and how much fun it was. Phillies baseball. All right, coming up, Junis, we will continue with the phone calls. And also, I got to send you this. This is pretty cool. I have never heard this before. VG unearths a song. You ready? From 1993, entitled "Those Phillies Thrill Me." All right, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay,
and then you're going to play.
All right. Sounds good.
That's awesome. All right, it's Cuz Radio with Junis. Here's how you get in: 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.